from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's gut check time. Here we go. 216-474-0092. Gut feeling, how you think he's going to do. Not just Sunday, the entire year. What's the get-in price for Sunday afternoon's game, Tone?
After fees, we're looking close to 270.
Holy potatoes.
And there are plenty of tickets in the 500 level that are north of 350.
Holy turkey sandwiches.
Yeah,
how much is 537?
This is as expensive as I've seen a home opener.
270? Just to get in and watch some regular season football.
Yeah, so the question is, does this... And we'll get to your Deshaun Watson question here in a second, the gut feeling about how you think he's going to do this year. But is this going to box out Cowboy fans, or does this box out just your average Browns fan?
Oh, a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I think the average Browns fan, hopefully they went to the preseason game and that was it. Because if this team does what they're supposed to do, the tickets are going to be extremely expensive basically no matter what. They should be expensive tickets no matter what. Especially if the quarterback does anywhere near what he's capable of. And that's why I kind of have to ask people the question, you know, what's your gut feeling? What is your gut feeling on what he's going to do this year? Because all we've done is talk it to death.
It's a perfect question for today and for the season because it can be nothing other than gut. It has to be gut because what did you see out of Deshaun Watson? What did you see in preseason? What did you see in training camp? What did you see in practice?
I saw a couple of I saw one live joint practice where there was some zingers that he threw, but there was also some times where he was touch sacked where it wouldn't have been a play, it would have been a sack. I saw a little bit of practice. I saw a lot of highlights on social media, and that's about it.
I asked somebody in the know who had been there every day. I said, how many? This was yesterday at 8:20 p.m. because I was thinking, how was I going to project a Brown season based on this training camp? And I asked somebody, again, been there every day, how many real practices did we have again? Like with Watson and the ones, the response, 3 with all the wide receivers, maybe 5 competitive practices. How are you supposed to break down what a team is supposed to do? So what do you do? You base it on, all right, the guys we know, and just overall as a team. Forget about just the Deshaun Watson part of this. If you're projecting the Browns team, well, you know Myles Garrett is unbelievable. I mean, the guy won Defensive Player of the Year and had like 1 sack the last 8 games. So that's how dominant he was that he didn't even need to do the normal accounting stuff.
Yeah.
You know that this defense, you know that Denzel Ward, when he is out there, when he is healthy and ready to go, Martin Emerson, you know that they're going to be locked down in that secondary. It's going to be a total strength of this team. We know that offensive line-wise, Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, we know they're going to be really good. Some question marks about left tackle and Conklin coming in, but we know overall, I do think the offensive line is still going to be good. Even without Bill Callahan, I still think that offensive line is going to be a strength of the team. Deshaun Watson, He's got Amari Cooper to throw to. Jerry Jeudy, who now doesn't have to bear the responsibility of being a number one. He's now probably in the role that he should be in. And I know that the tight end looks like he's continuing to get better. Njoku continues to look like somebody that is going to be, what, top five at his position? Can we say that?
Yeah.
So those are the things we know. That's a pretty good football team.
So what's your gut feeling on him?
I think he's going to be, if he's healthy this year, big if, obviously. I think he's going to be probably in the neighborhood of, can I say, if he's healthy, 11th best quarterback, 12th best quarterback, 13th best quarterback? Is that
middle of the road? Well, that's still upper echelon.
That's still top third. Yeah, that's still top third of the NFL.
So, 216-474-92.
That's
kind of
where I am.
Feeling on how he's going to do
this.
That's
kind of where I am with him. Like, I right now, I've had to set aside that I think he'll ever be the Watson from Houston. I probably don't think he's going to be that.
I think he's somewhere between 9 and 12.
Okay.
And if I'm ranking a quarterback, because that's how we go, I can't give you the numbers. I can't tell you how many touchdowns and interceptions and yards he's going to throw. I think that if he's healthy for the entire year, I think he'll probably be healthy for 15 games, but it's going to be a roller coaster for what this season is. Because I just throw out 15 games. Okay, well, if he doesn't start, we're going to automatically go back to last year status on a lot of this. So I got to remember all that. So to say 15 games so cavalierly is not necessarily the best way to go about it. I'm gonna say gut feeling. I say 9 to 12 in the league, and I can't guarantee you who I got a gut feeling better than him. I got a gut feeling that Joe Burrow probably won't finish the entire season or play the entire season. I got a gut feeling on a lot of things, but if it's a gut feeling because we can only go on what we've seen and we haven't been able to see anything since last year. Then, I think that that they will do their best to play as best to his abilities, which is not saying anything at all. Again, I can't explain it other than I think he's going to play 9th to 12th best in the league. If he plays worse than that, I think we're going to a bad place, and then you're definitely not getting the return on your investment. So this is, again, it turns into a hope instead of what my gut feeling is. My gut feeling is 9 to 12, but when I go to explain it, it sounds like a hope.
Yeah,
That's what makes this so difficult for fans.
And the funny thing is, maybe not Shannon Sharp, who we played the audio earlier in the show, who's bullish on the Browns getting to where they need to get to this year. He has them in the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs. But
which is great.
It's funny because if anybody heard me say, Watson will probably be, I don't know, 11th best, 12th best, 13th best, there'll probably be some Browns fans that'd be like, that's where you have them? That's not good enough. Why do we make the trade? I guarantee you there'd be some national people if they were driving through that heard us say that and said, what? That guy is not even remotely in that range. He's barely, could he be even in the early 20s? So we've seen the Mike Sando tiers. We've seen every quarterback ranking you could possibly throw out there. And I think that's more on the favorable side, what me and you came up with.
216-474-0092. Give me your gut feeling. How's he going to do this year? And you know who he is. Mark in Ireland, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure talking to you. I'm in Belfast, Ireland, visiting and coming back in 2 days and then going to the Browns game. I've seen a lot of sheep and I've seen a lot of castles here in Ireland.
All right. Well, that's outstanding.
Golf trip, Mark?
No, unfortunately not. Although I did visit a golf course, not a golf trip.
All right. All right. Continue.
The sheep castles comparison, I couldn't help but thinking every time I saw a sheep and a castle, I kind of thought of Watson. Is he going to be a sheep this year? Is he going to be a castle this year? Is he going to be like somebody that's going to defend and play well? Or is he going to be a sheep? You get hurt, you get run over. And gut feeling, I hate to say this, tells me I think he's going to be a sheep. I don't want that to happen. I'm going to be there Sunday, so I'm going to be rooting my head off, but I think he's going to be a sheep. It's too bad, but I hope I'm wrong.
All right, Mark, I can only go by what your stomach tells you, and thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. We're not off to a good start. If you and I are saying you're saying 10 to 12, I'm saying 9 to 12. I mean, we're parsing words here. That's about as good as we can possibly
hope
for. Well,
it's where we basically had Baker, right? Where we were hoping at Baker's best.
I had Baker seventh once.
Which, by the way, we are all, I think we're still in alignment that, I mean, I'm not putting a ceiling on Deshaun Watson there. It's just kind of where I think he's going to be. But of, like, if you were to go into a season and talk about where would you be surprised? Would you be blown away if Watson, if it all came together this year? I wouldn't be blown away. Like, it's still out there. It's still the possibility of him, you know, the reimagining of Deshaun Watson and getting back to where he was in Houston. It would be awesome, right? Like, yes. I'm not ruling it out. I'm not saying that's done. That era is over. Unfortunately, I think it's trending towards that being over.
Well, I mean, it's been 4 years since that has been going on. So I have to be realistic with myself. I can't expect that to come back. I mean, expect is a hell of a word. I can't expect that to come back. So the people who are upset because the trade didn't pan out the way they wanted it to pan out so far, I can't expect it to pan out like that anymore. I'm not saying he's an MVP caliber quarterback. I don't believe it. I can't say that he is the type of guy that you could single-handedly beat Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes with. I can't say that because I don't believe it's true.
Most fans now, just because of how we react to what's happened, well, the most recent, they'll have CJ Stroud ahead of them.
Okay, fine. Fine. And by the time it's over, he might be that type of guy. I'm not sure. But what I can't expect for him right now is that he plays within their system. He makes the most of that system. That system is now tailored to him. You cannot make any argument against that. That system is tailored to him. And that if he makes the most of it, there will be a playoff team and they can get to a divisional round or even a AFC championship game. Things have to break right, but I think that those things are possible. So there's things that have to go well, but it's not where you can just be undeniable the way Mahomes is, the way that so few guys have been in all the history of the NFL. So to put him in that category, it just wouldn't be true. I put him in that secondary category of guys who are capable of doing it. It's just it's been so long. It's been so long since I've been able to see him do that on a consistent basis. We've had one blemish of what he's capable of doing, and that was the half against Baltimore, which we've talked to death. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we got nothing to show us that it's going to be that way or consistently that way for a long period of time. So because of that, and I haven't got to see anything but a few passes during practice in camp, I have to be honest with myself and say gut feeling. He's at best, I think, ninth, which I still think is good. Ninth to 12th best quarterback in the league. I don't know what type of yards, again, I can assign to
him.
Is that
around where you have... I'm sorry to cut you off. Is that around where you have Dak?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, Dak was second.
I see them very similarly.
Dak was second in MVP voting last year.
Okay. Well, then I guess I should put him back up in the MVP category then. Because I don't see Dak as far as the elite quarterbacks are concerned. I don't think he's as bad as what people make him out to be. I don't find him to be that threat. Like, Dak Prescott does not scare me for Sunday. Is that fair? Does that crystallize things
for
you?
He's the fascinating guy. As annoyed as I get talking about Cowboys, he is one of the more fascinating guys to talk about in the league.
He's a good quarterback, and if he makes the most of his targets, then they will give us problems. I respect him. But it's not where it's like, man, like if they were to play Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs coming up when they do in December, it's Mahomes, 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 yeah. Mahomes. Bills, it's Allen the entire way through.
And I was going to interrupt
even they
you.
Well against the Bengals. It's Burrow.
But you were kind of rolling halfway through the Deshaun Watson
Prescott,
experience
and I don't think a lot of
last segment. We're talking about our
with us.
Expectations for him. And then I said, what happened?
We are game week
to your left hand.
I had
one
of the most bizarre incidents that happened yesterday.
What's your gut feeling on how
Deshaun Watson's going to do this season? And
because I got that shower next to my office, right?
So I played my dynasty. I got home from Youngstown yesterday.
It's like 10:30. I go, all right, go play my dynasty. By the way, I only clap with four fingers here. Like, okay, gonna play dynasty. So I played my dynasty. Played FCS team. Won. No big deal, right? And I was like, I haven't showered yet today. I got to take a shower. Usually I take a shower straight up, but I wasn't going to do it at my friend's house, so I took a shower, right? And I get out of the shower. My clothes are in the corner of the bathroom. Now, in my bathroom, I got several, like, hanging mirrors, beard hanging mirrors, things like that. And I have this big metal. Now, by the way, I put my clothes
on. You live
on
in a hall of mirrors?
I put my No. Like, they're beer mirrors. Like, not me. You know I don't like to look myself in the mirror. Like, it's in the bathroom. It's like a
funhouse situation.
Great big Bud Light mirror. Great
like
big
vintage
Miller,
mirrors. Yeah,
yeah. Miller High Life, like bar mirrors. They would be at a bar.
And they were the running man, into the wall, yes. Not knowing where you were.
I thought it was the man with the golden gun.
So I put my clothes on. I'm fully clothed now. And I went to, and right where my clothes were, there is like on above it is this metal like cutout. It's metal. It's the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the front page when the Cavs won the championship. I went to pick the clothes up. When I did, I hit the metal thing and knocked it up off the hanging nails, and it came down and cut my finger like wide open. And I'm just looking at it going, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Was it like instantaneous?
Yeah.
The blood started coming out?
It was just like, it just shot out. I'm like, uh-oh. And I went upstairs. I go, Liz, I need help here. And she goes, what's up? Oh, my God, Kenny. And it was like this big thing. And it looked bad. Feels bad.
Now, Anthony, you started off the segment saying Ken has a bandage on his hand. Yeah. That is not true. Okay. That's not
it's a true statement. It's taped up.
He has it taped like he's about to spar 10 rounds Boom Boom Mancini.
But I wanted to. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I'm like, I don't want to draw attention to it. So I got my mechanic's gloves, but I'm like, okay, if I'm just standing here in mechanic's gloves.
Now you're Sting.
Now I'm really, yeah, and then people are going to go, Sting really let himself go. So I'm going to draw even more attention to it. So I'm like, all right, fine. So I think by the time he comes in here, Rodney McLeod comes in here, I might just take the Neosporin and put another bandage on it and then just kind of cover up my hand. I don't do very well in these situations.
You're gonna have to shake his hand.
I do not do very well. I'm like,
well, God. It's a lefty, so he's good there.
Yeah,
but it is on the side that Rodney will be setting on.
It's true. It looks.
It'd be a hell of a time to tell us you're a ventriloquist and you have a puppet.
My tape job's not very good, but you know I'm not an athletic trainer.
It's also your dominant hand, yeah. So
it's moving around a lot. Yeah, that's how
your writing and all that.
That's what I write with and hold my pencils with and everything like that.
Can I tell you just quickly?
I felt like, oh, this is what I did think of Trevor Bauer.
I was kind of thinking that way too. Thursday, I checked into the hotel. I was calling into, you know, Dustin's last show.
Right.
And I was trying to do too many things at once before my game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shaving. And if any time you get, I don't know if this is the same for you, anytime you nick something like on the bottom of your face,
yeah,
it's hard to control. I don't know why. So I started bleeding, and I couldn't get it to stop. It was 45. Like, I walked into the stadium still
you
bleeding.
You were shaving during the call
during
for
the
Dustin's
call.
Last
Yeah, I was trying to do too many things at once, and I couldn't control it. I had a suit on, and I'm trying to hold it. So I have paper towels, Kleenex. I have everything.
I got something for you.
So it's like a spigot. There's blood everywhere in the hotel room, and I cleaned it up and tried to take care of the situation, but at the same time, it was a DoubleTree. And do you know what DoubleTrees give you when you walk in?
What?
They give you a warm chocolate chip cookie. So I had the cookie, but it fell apart into pieces.
Oh, my God.
And so I had to clean that up. It looked like something else. It looked like a house of horrors in my room.
Oh, my God.
As I tried to get all the napkins and paper towels into one area along with the blood. So they're wondering, whoever cleaned up that room, and I left them some money, they had to think something totally different went down in that room. Because there is a bunch of chocolatey mess and at the same time, a bunch of blood.
I have a buddy who will not leave money for the
disaster.
For the cleaning people. I'm glad you left money for the cleaning people.
Yeah.
All right, I have something called green sticks.
What is this?
You put it underwater. It looks like a match. It just looks like a match. It's like a matchbox, matchbook.
Yeah.
And you run it under cold water, and it stings. It will sting, but you put it on your razor, Nick. And
the stinging's how you know it's working.
It immediately, like...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Cauterizes it,
why
and then
do you
it's
have
done.
That here right now?
I don't know why I have it here. I think it's if
do
I cut
you do
myself
a lot of shaving here.
If I cut myself open, and so I shave at the TV station sometimes. I don't like to admit it, but I do.
I mean, I've never seen you with facial hair.
On the fly.
No, I don't have facial hair, but when I grow the facial hair in, like if I go a couple of days, I just look like white trash. So I have to shave, or I'm just going to look like trash. That's what I look like. So there you go.
I didn't know this exists. This is great.
Yeah. So you got to get them. It saves. I could not believe what an invention it is. It saved everything.
This has been like the most emo segment we've ever
done. I know.
Done.
This seems like something.
I'm sorry. I don't
guys
know,
cutting themselves.
That Jason Bourne could like take care of himself in a hotel room if something bad happened.
I have a story about that for not on the air. Maybe on the podcast, but certainly not on the air when it comes to that sort of thing. Anyway, 8 o'clock, John Greco going to join us. Before we get back to the Browns, I thought of a way to save your college football fandom. Because you said, well, now they are just they're paid mercenaries anymore. Like I said, now like I don't care about the Michigan thing. I would have cared about the Michigan thing 20 years ago because I was a big Ohio State fan then, and I would have cared about the Michigan thing 20 years ago because it does seem pretty nefarious. Now I think once you're paying players, it's protect your stuff. I don't care about them trying to steal signs. I mean, to go through the lengths that they went through, it's kind of like, man, this is a little bit much to buy all these tickets and to have like Uncle T or something like that. That was a crazy thing to me. But I've become a bigger college football fan over all this. You've become a smaller college football fan. You've not cared as much. I wonder if the NIL, if that has a possibility to make you a bigger college football fan again. Because your whole thing was, man, you don't know these guys from place to place. They hit the portal. They're gone. Like Julian Fleming's playing for Penn State now. I think a lot of people just think of Ohio State when they think of Julian Fleming, and I don't think anybody cares now because you got this Jeremiah Smith kid who looks like you're already forgetting about Marvin Harrison Jr. because of how good this kid is, and they got a couple other kids. They're going to obviously play wide receiver. But if you're able to hold on to these guys through NIL and possibly contracts, could that make you a stronger Ohio State fan? Could that make people stronger Ohio State fans again? Because before I said it was – there was a time where, like, that Ohio State team that won in 2002, so many Ohio guys, so many. The 2015, 2014, 15 Buckeyes, not as many Ohio guys. Now you are all over the place, like Jeremiah Smith, I think is from Miami, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you got guys from all over the country, and that's the type of program you should be. But also, do you have a chance to keep these guys for the entire 3 years before they go on? Because of your NIL deals.
Well, yeah, that's definitely part of it. Like, if Ohio State, if they win the national championship this year with the most expensive roster in all of college football, are the boosters going to pony up that money again? Are they going to say, all right, we're running it back because now we want all-time greatness. We want a back-to-back national championship. So all the money we just spent, we're going to spend it again. Now, obviously, you're going to lose guys to the NFL, too. You know, the Michigan situation was very unique that they were able to keep so many of their guys for that national championship run. I mean, we talk so much about the sign stealing stuff, you forget, like, they had men on that team. They had grown men, some of which could have easily gone into the NFL the year before. Most Ohio State guys over the years are just leaving for the NFL. They're not coming back. So I think that is interesting because you would imagine if they won the title, are they really going to be able to get guys to return?
Like, there are several guys. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr., I know that there was that whole story about the offer to have him come back or something. Like, some of these guys are just undeniable. You have to let them go if you're at a place like Ohio State. But are there guys who you know are good for your system who you can make offers to that, like, hey, you could be a fourth-round guy, and you can go get that money and have your job, or you can have the job here and make something decent here and be a big part of our system. Or is the money going to bottleneck eventually? And is it going to funnel up to, hey, we're only going to be able to pay so many guys over all this? Because I still think it's really spread out. We're still finding out what we can do and what we can't. Ohio State, everybody. As far as like Akron, I don't think it's ever going to have NIL, so I don't think Akron has to worry about it. Or Kent State or a lot of other places, with the exception of maybe Toledo and the MAC. But like Ohio State, all right, what's worthy of paying? What are the boosters willing to pay? Michigan, who are they willing to pay? Everybody else, who are they willing to pay? Where is their money going to be best spent? I think we'll find that out here over the next 5 to 10 years. And I wonder if it keeps some of those guys who, hey, you know what? You're a really good player, but do you think you translate to the NFL as well as maybe some people tell you? If you don't, you can take this, and it makes people bigger fans of that player. Because I go back to the old Buckeyes, and I mean, you can name how many guys off the top of your head, starting with Bobby Hoying and moving your way on down. All those Buckeye teams that couldn't touch how good a team this team
is. Well, the flip side of that, too, though, is will fans turn on a guy quicker because he's getting paid so much?
Yes.
And it's out in the open.
Yes.
And the collective is flaunting
it. Look at it with us right now. I mean, they want their $230 million worth of football out of Deshaun Watson. And I think that's part of the reason where whether he's available or not, or whether it's his fault or not, doesn't matter. They're still going to blame him on that. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some blame there that they would put on the player.
And obviously, like, the high-profile guys at Ohio State, like, nobody really knows what offensive linemen are getting, right? Like, are they getting the bare minimum, mostly offensive line guys?
A certain few. I mean, depending on who they are. Like, big-time transfer portal linemen, I think, can cost you. I want to say Colorado went out and got a guy that was almost $500,000.
Wow, okay. I didn't know any of them had that kind of market value.
If you're that good of an offensive lineman, yeah.
But obviously, like, quarterback, stud wide receiver, and then really it should be, because now these teams have GMs, right? They're SEC teams that have GMs, and pretty soon it's going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So coaches are going to want to be able to, or have the capacity.
Barton Simmons, who we've had on this show, Vanderbilt, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, to have to do all that. Isn't it going to be just like the NFL? Shouldn't it mirror the NFL where quarterback gets the most, then it's pass rusher? Right, defensive lineman, dominant pass rusher should be next in line. And then, like the NFL, surprisingly, or maybe it isn't surprising to you, that wide receivers seem to be the next position they get all the money.
Wide receivers are more important, I think, in college football than they are in the NFL. If you have that type of quarterback, everything's on the quarterback. But in college football, I mean, you can transform everything. I mean, look what's going on in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, that kid probably is the best kid in the country.
Yeah, what did he have?
And he, 300
on
yards.
On Saturday night?
300 yards. Now you're playing North New Mexico. But, I mean, you got one of the best players in the country, one of the best wide receivers in the country. They can transform everything, especially as they're going through a changeout year with Jed Fish gone. I'm just thinking out loud here, watching Ohio State play so dramatically well, and me being a former fan and you almost being a lapsed fan. You're still an Ohio State fan. You're still the Ohio State guy at the station, but I don't think you're as big on the players as you used to be. Is that a fair statement to say?
Yeah, probably. And I've been spoiled. I mean, Ohio State's getting the best of the best now, really since Urban Meyer walked through.
Yes.
It was sporadic with Tressel, but since Urban came through, Buckeyes have as talented a roster every year as anybody else in college football.
I want you to answer this now, and I want other people to think about this, because we have Fix My Life coming up at 7:45, but we are going to have to get down to the nitty-gritty. Other than Deshaun Watson, which he will dominate the entire week of talk before we get ready for the Cowboys game, who is the most important Cleveland Brown?
Yeah, you want it right now?
Who is the? Yeah, I want your answer right now, right off the top.
It's Miles, right? I mean, I didn't even have to think about it too much, just because if Myles Garrett, if you took him out of the equation,
okay,
I think the defense goes from being, what were they last year? Top five, maybe
top
number one, maybe number one. They by some metrics, I'm sure they were. Without Myles Garrett, it changes everything. I could see them being below average without Myles Garrett. That's how important he is. And that's not to say they don't have great players elsewhere. It's just, if you lose that, I mean, that guy is everything.
Miles.
Think about how Houston, their entire program against us was detailed around Myles Garrett. I mean, that's how vital he is.
Well, I think that's based on them not thinking your quarterback's going to be able to beat him. And that was a reliance on what they're doing. And not a disrespect to Joe Flacco, but I feel that they could say that if C.J. Stroud is playing as well as he can, Joe Flacco coming in off the bench, I know it's a great story, ain't going to beat him. And it turns out that DeMeco Ryans was right about that. I have a different answer I'm going to give you after Fix My Life. 216-474-0092. Outside of Deshaun, who is the most important Cleveland Brown? I disagree with Tone, and I'll tell you why after.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, Kenny, since we now have video of this very show that comes out, we put it out on social media. You can see our reactions. You can see how we're dressed every single day. You can see our hairstyle. If we've got a pimple, sometimes it gets picked up on the video.
I didn't even know that.
It also picks up something that I have a very nasty, bad habit that has formed over time.
What's that?
I am a chronic yawner.
Yes.
And I can't stop yawning. And I don't know if it'll ever stop. And unfortunately, when we air interviews where me and you are listening to somebody that we are talking to, you can see our facial expressions. Sometimes we make wacky faces. Sometimes, quite frankly, we look bored. There's nothing against anybody we're talking to. It's just that can happen. Sometimes I'll be staring at the abyss. And then oftentimes I am yawning. And I got to fix it because it seems very disrespectful to whoever we're talking to. Sometimes you. I feel like you
I've called you out for it before. Called you out for it before.
So how do I fix it? Because I can tell you firsthand that yawning is not an indication of how conversations are going with me.
Well,
I just yawn all the time.
You better figure it out.
You might be telling me the most entertaining, creamy nougat in the history of this radio show, and I still might have that visceral yawning reaction, involuntary.
I don't know how you stop yawning. I know that you have to stop yawning when Rodney McLeod comes in here. I don't want him to take it as a disrespect and have this thing stop before it even starts. Because he's supposed to be with us every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, so that'll be good. It said the only thing I could figure it out, keep the how to stop excessive yawning. Is your bedroom bright, loud, and warm? It says keep your bedroom cool, dark, and quiet.
Go to bed
and wake up at the same time each day. Avoid caffeine, large meals, and exercise before bedtime. Do you avoid exercise before bedtime? I'm just seeing what it says. It's Psych Central.
Okay.
The very first thing you look at. What? Avoid alcohol close to bed. You drink before bed almost every night.
I have. There's a lot of nights where I'll have a cocktail.
Yeah. It says avoid
especially
alcohol before bed.
Heavy on the bourbon.
Remove electronic devices from the bedroom. But you can take that any way you want to. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to go in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. I've only been to your house once. I've actually never been off the main floor. I've been to the basement. That's it.
Okay, so what? They're drawing a correlation with anything. Like, I've listened to podcasts about sleep where they do talk a lot about...
You don't do that while you're driving, do you?
But no.
Oh.
But where the technology, anything, any of those... What are they called?
Sound machines?
Yeah, well, we do have the sound machines, okay. And we have the monitor. I mean, we have the baby monitor that's going...
Well, you have to have those.
24-7, basically, in the house.
You have to have those.
So I can't really control that or neutralize that.
So what are you trying to... You can't turn off your cell phone, even though getting a hold of you is probably one of the hardest things to do ever. But
if you know the code, you can get through.
No, but the cell phone's not a bother because it's not on. Like, it's dark.
Okay.
It's not like the screen's on.
So how do we stop you from yawning is got
to
be
the
answer.
There a way to really do
basically
it?
Basically change everything about your life according to what Ken just read.
I would say knock off the booze before bed. Plus, you're going to get weird dreams.
It's not that important for me to stop yawning. But I do it like Keith will clip some of these, like if we're picking our nose or anything, he'll pick it and send it, and it'll just be, I'm sure you have a bank of material on your phone that is a lot of these reactions or whatever. And I'm telling you that it's so involuntary that it has nothing to do with if I'm bored or not. That is what's amazing to me. We do associate yawning
with
just total boredom. I do a radio show with Ken Carmen. How could I ever be bored? There's no way.
You can be bored very easily if you... Well, no. If you're with me.
Now, there were times during the Browns
offseason.
I will say there were times during this training camp where, boy, where did the excitement go?
Well, there was no excitement during the training camp. There was none. So how could you not yawn? Where was it? Where was the excitement? They were in West Virginia.
I think even Kevin Stefanski might have been yawning a little bit down in West Virginia.
I got nothing against the people of West Virginia. I've never been excited to go to West Virginia for anything in my life. I've never been excited to be down there. I can't imagine I'd be excited to go to the Greenbrier. I actually don't want to go to the Greenbrier. I can't imagine being excited for that. Then they're away for 10 days during the Greenbrier. They come back. That's still behind the fence because they're doing construction over there. There was nothing to see. There was nothing to get excited for. Mm. And I think it kind of muted the preseason as well because people couldn't really go see him except for, what, five or six openings, I think they had? But then it stormed, so it ended up being five openings.
That's right.
So they didn't really get a chance to see him. So, again, that's why when we go to the phones and stuff like that, we're getting a lot of indecisiveness because nobody knows what to expect.
Do you take it as a sign of disrespect when, like, your kids, if your kids are yawning while you're talking to them? Because don't kids seem to do that and they don't have a tact? Like, they haven't established the right things to do yet?
I yawn when I get nervous. That's the only thing I...
Really?
Yeah, that when I get nervous, when I have something very nerve-wracking coming up, I will yawn. I yawn like crazy. I don't remember the last thing I was really, really nervous about, but anytime I get really nervous, I start yawning, and it just will not go away, and I will start counting the yawns. That's how much I hate it. I hate yawning. I hate
seeing it. Well, that just makes you tireder. That's like counting sheep.
I hate doing it. I hate seeing it. I hate yawning. I hate it. I get very annoyed by the practice. In the middle of a conversation, if I yawn, anything like that, or driving, the continued yawn, the opening of the mouth, the whole thing, I hate yawning. So I don't know what you're going to do, but you better figure it out. Do you want to chew gum secretly?
Well,
I would imagine
do...
that stops the yawning.
Yeah, but I can't do that on the air.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear you smacking.
I'll just end it with this. All these things you do regularly. I don't know about your bedroom. You do not go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. I think it's impossible to do because you have small children. You drink a cup of coffee a day, but you don't drink and you don't eat large meals, so you don't have that.
They're talking about blue light exposure, I'm guessing, is what's happened with the phone.
Okay, well, that's something you're going to have to figure out on your own because I'm not going to go in your bedroom and turn those electronics off. That ain't going to happen. So all you can do is just stop doing that. So
I'll try to focus, Kenny. I'll do my best because I don't want to insult Rodney. I don't want to insult anybody.
Do you want to ask the second most important Cleveland Brown question to Rodney McLeod?
Absolutely.
Who do you think he's going to answer? Do you think he'll answer Myles Garrett?
Oh, he's got to say a defensive player, right?
I'm going to say offensive line. I'm going to say left tackle. Okay. And I don't know which one it's going to be. It's either going to be Jed Wills, who I don't think is going to end up playing, or it's going to be Jack Conklin, who I do think is at least going to start out the year. I don't think Jed Wills is going to start playing on Sunday, I should say. I think he'll probably play later in the year, but I don't think he's going to start on Sunday. I think it's obviously going to be Jack Conklin for a lot of people. And how important he ends up being is, to me, the second most important person in the Cleveland Browns, because I think everybody knows that they can set their watch to Myles Garrett, his effort, his play. I think all that got answered last year. When it comes to Deshaun Watson, I think a lot of us are holding our breath and we don't really know how to respond to any of this stuff, and we don't really know how to feel towards the season starting, other than we're Browns fans and we want to be excited. But as far as any sort of prognostication or feeling, I think a lot of people are left in the dark because of this. The only other one other than Watson that helps solve it, who's a player, is the guy whoever plays the left tackle.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.